Good evening, everybody, and, well, let's face it, it's not the same, folks. Yes, indeed, it is another episode of the Hockey Writers Live. The phone number to call in is 1-347-826-7358. But, let's face it, tonight, it's a tough one. It really is, folks. You know, I'm sure if you're West Coast, Canada, East Coast, if, you know, you were lucky enough and you still have power. Pretty much anywhere. You've seen the headlines, you've seen the stories.
Yeah, and I can echo a lot of those comments, Chris, that it's, you know, we spent a lot of time over the weekend volunteering, helping do some cleanups, helping with food and donations, and coordinating some things, delivering some things. We actually got a chance, our first chance, to go over to Long Beach Island today as part of one of the crew delivering donations and food to the workers that are over there. And I have to say that as awful and painful as the aerial footage was of Long Beach Island, and looking at the destruction and the damage to the houses, it doesn't even compare to when you see it up close. And, you know, it really hits you then that, like, looking at it from far away, it's sad. But when you're looking at it up close, like, this is a house I used to trick or treat at, you know, years ago, or this is a house up the road from where I grew up and things like that. That's when it really hits home. Some of the communities on the mainland that are also along the waterfront, we volunteered. We were helping clean up and clean out some homes, and just looking at houses. And some of them, I don't know how familiar everybody is with the area. It's a shore community. There's a lot of people that are seasonal residents, but there's a pretty good number of full-timers. And a lot of the people that are here have been here for a really long time. So you've got seniors with these waterfront homes that are now flooded, couples in their 80s that are trying to figure out how they can even move a box of pictures and family heirlooms out the door, let alone all the other stuff that's been destroyed or damaged in the flood. So, you know, seeing piles of furniture, of belongings, of carpets. Some of the people that we were working with are helping tear out carpets, carpet padding, and sheetrock, to try to save mold from taking over the house. So if you strip it down, at least you can rebuild what's left. But, you know, seeing that and getting your hands dirty in it, it's a whole different ball game than just looking at a picture or a video online. So, I don't know if it properly conveys how devastating it is to see firsthand.
We were lucky enough to get out on Wednesday to Tremley Point in London, which, if people don't know, it's not just the refinery and the oil fields and an area in London that people refer to as the black hole. You know, there's also a strip of homes along there as well, along the Arthur Van Killer, Kill Van Cull, depending on what you would like to call it. And for people that don't really understand what happened here, picture a 15-foot wall of water going around Long Island Sound and through the East and Hudson Rivers like a tidy ball and whipping around in these areas. And you'll kind of get the idea of what happened. You know, the record surges in the Battery, Sandy Hook, et cetera. Sandy Hook, yeah, looks like a lot of sand. And probably oceans of water where parking lots formed. And the parking lot, you know, ocean, parts of the ocean are a parking lot. But things like that. The homes that were full of mold, guys, and God knows what, I couldn't even tell you. The smell of sewage, which, look, I don't know if, you know, you've ever smelled raw sewage with oil because there was a tank failure along the Arthur Van Kill as well, which spilled about 350,000 to 400,000 gallons. Sewage is bad enough. Septic backup is bad enough with it. You add in oil and the smell of kerosene, and, I mean, literally, when we went into Tremley Point on Wednesday, they asked you to dump anything that could remotely ignite. That's how bad it was. People's first floors of their homes are completely gone. You go in, you'd see nothing, but just, you'd see where the line of the water was. In some cases, the homes were completely wiped out because the water and sewage collapsed the entire foundation. And there was an elderly couple that I saw, that and it will haunt me. The guy thanked me simply for saying hello. They had been sitting there for a day and a half by themselves. They couldn't get out because literally their whole entire first floor was full of water and it didn't recede. I mean, the simplest things that we take for granted, because let's face it, we do. We don't know. You know, Josh, Brian, I don't know about you, but the estimates that are coming in alone as far as damage are mind-boggling. I know down in Port Newark, there was a fleet of brand-new cars that was scheduled to be shipped down the coast, about maybe 20, 30,000 cars, all flooded with electrical damage. The damage is at least a couple billion dollars.
Wow.
I mean, I know of towns that have said they're going to need $300, $400, $500 million just to rebuild or more. This is just New Jersey. I mean, Staten Island, I mean, Brian, Derek knows, you go to the southern end of Staten Island and there's houses, the map is redrawn.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a guy that down in Midway Beach, and he said it flat out. He's like, there were homes where the foundation was even washed away. There's nothing left.
And we haven't even, you know, talked about the Rockaways and Breezy Point.
There's the Rockaways.
There's so many other places out there that, I mean, Hoboken.
Hoboken's flooded. You think about the Holland Tunnel was flooded. The Battery was flooded. Let's put it this way. Hockey seems sure as hell rather insignificant when you compare it to this.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
It does, you know, it does put things in perspective. I mean, I was, you know, born and raised in Jersey, as you know, for 32 years, and now I'm out in California, and it's tough for me to even wrap my head around this, you know, the things I hear from my parent, my mom, you, you know, Josh, everybody that I've talked to. I mean, the best thing I can tell you, you know, being so far away is that, goodness, it's good to hear you guys' voices. I mean, that's the first thing. Forget everything else. You know, I mean, you know, you can't replace a human life. That's number one. Number two, you know, it kind of hit me a little bit late in the game. You know, when I first heard about it and then I saw the images, I'm thinking to myself, I'm a Jerseyan through and through, even though I live in California, and it's a kick in the absolute gut. It's like Josh had a good point about seeing it up close. It's hit me, but I don't even know if it'll really hit me until I go home and see it. You know, see it for myself. I can't even, you know, wrap my head around it. And, you know, this is a reminder for everybody around the country. I mean, even, you know, out here in California, I was talking to people at work, and our lives here can change in 65 seconds. I mean, Chris knows that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to be prepared, you know, try to be as prepared as you possibly can for anything that's out there. It's serious stuff. You just never know what's going to really happen at any given moment, no matter where you are. I mean, a lot of people, I've always thought, oh, you know, it's highly unlikely that New Jersey could ever get hit with that kind of storm, and that's true, but you just never, you know, you, unfortunately, you just never tell.
Right. I mean, if people look back a little bit last year at what happened with Irene, I mean, Irene largely went along the coast and did no damage because the eye wall was right over the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it eroded beaches considerably. It did some wind damage in certain places. And yeah, the rain was heavy at times. But it was more a, I guess, a, almost like a central Jersey and north storm.
Yeah.
Where once it crossed the Driscoll Bridge, it turned into some animal that we didn't know. Went right over New York City, said hello, but slammed the living daylights by me. I mean, we were lucky. We last year we had 13 inches of rain. That's a lot of rain. Let's put it this way. I have pictures, I think, that are still on my Facebook page where the Rahway River washed up the one side of St. George Avenue, went over and went right down the other side and continued its merry way. Trees were uprooted. I mean, there was a good, you know, there was a considerable amount of damage.
That's incredible.
After Irene and the Halloween storm that came through and dumped a foot of snow here and a couple feet further up, we might have been prepared for this a little better. Now, people were. Now, if you looked at most of the local governments, except for Atlantic City, but they got lucky. Locally, they were prepared, but there was no way to prepare for what came.
And this, unfortunately, was the perfect storm. I mean, you know, the one analogy I heard is that it's like you're at a door. If you kick it 100 times, you're going to kick it down. This storm, it's one kick, and the door's down. That's how powerful it was. And I don't really think anybody really, I mean, not everybody, but most people, first of all, how do you prepare for that? What do you do, right? You can't, it's not like you can board your windows. That's not going to, I mean, nothing's going to stop that kind of force.
Right.
Yeah, so I have to believe what happened to Katrina may have helped this time, at least for evacuation purposes for the most part. When you consider the size of the storm and the severity of it, you know, how many millions and millions of people live in its way, you know, there were a lot of good things that were done too, not just all bad. Yeah,
right.
So it's, of course, there's places that are struggling. It's just a very frustrating time. I hear my mom. She's very calm usually, but she, a lot of my family is very calm during these things. Very, very different, you know, over 3-4 days, and I understood it. I couldn't even wrap my head around it.
Right. I mean, the federal government, whether people want to admit it or not. Here we go again. They tried. But I'll say this, and I don't know how many lives it could have saved, or maybe how, look, damage you weren't going to save no matter what. Damage was going to happen. But if there was some kind of martial law where basically you're going, whether you like it or not. And some kind of plan in place, better than what clearly, I mean, look, plans, playbooks get thrown out the window here. But every person that I talk to in certain key areas that has received a lot of damage has said the same thing. Where the heck's federal government? Staten Island in particular. They've gotten to the point where where's anyone? And now today you just start to see things coming in.
I don't know what it was with Staten Island, guys. I mean, I don't know if anyone can answer this, but even, I'm just talking from a national, again, I don't get the local stations here out in Los Angeles, but
right.
I watched all the national ones. I didn't really hear anything about Staten Island for about 3-4 days. I mean, Derek didn't lose power. Well, Derek's in a good spot at Staten Island. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I guess Staten Island's okay. I mean, I'm sure they got damage, but I figured, okay, it's mostly the Jersey Shore. And, of course, Lower Manhattan because it's, the high tide and everything.
Right.
It just never hit me that Staten Island could really get crushed the way it did. And nationally, and all of a sudden, but then the media said, well, wait a minute. Oh, what's going on in Staten Island? And thankfully, they've been putting a lot of emphasis on it, so I hope that's getting people the need that they need over there. But I think everybody sort of fell asleep on Staten Island. And unfortunately, Staten Island is the forgotten borough at times. It just is. I don't know why, but I think it's
part of
tough
it is
to get
they
to.
Tried to succeed a few times.
It's a tough borough to get in and out of, too. Maybe that's part of it. I really can't answer that.
But the bottom line is...
It's interesting to hear from your perspective, nationally, how it's getting covered and how it's getting reported, because, Chris, I'm assuming you're in the same boat I am, where most of your coverage is from the immediate area.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have power for a while, so thankfully with cell phone chargers and the car charger, we were able to keep that up and going. And that was primarily... Facebook and Twitter, and it was people that we knew, police officers, rescue workers, and that was the extent of the coverage. And frankly, that was enough to try to keep on top of without even going, beyond the 20-mile radius here of what was immediately in our area. So it wasn't until really, 2 days ago that we had any idea of what else was going on outside of Ocean County. And we knew Monmouth County a little bit, so I should say that. But, even areas inland where people are still without power in northeastern PA, and some of what happened in Connecticut and Staten Island. I mean, I was under the same impression. They're like, okay, it was the Jersey Shore. We knew Manhattan was going to get some of it just because the water and the way it's built, and it can't really handle a storm surge. But Staten Island was shocking when we finally got TV news and a chance to see what else was going on, that how bad it really was there.
You bring up a good point. It's funny, I had a lot of people calling me on Monday night, even Tuesday, saying, when's the storm going to end? What's going on? Because, nobody had power. And
right.
I'm sitting here 3,000 miles away saying, okay, here's what's going to happen for you. And I'm looking stuff up. And, I had to help our one good friend, Chris, find shelter, John, in Manhattan. Derek and I had to do that. I mean, it was just kind of, it was a weird feeling about what was... And you made a great point about Facebook and Twitter. What a godsend that thing is right now. Because, as an out-of-towner who's worried about a lot of you out there, a lot of family and friends, it is wonderful just to say, okay, I see a post from Chris. I see a post. You know what I mean? Good. Everybody's okay. It just, that 20, 30 years ago, I'd still be waiting for most people to probably call or anybody to hear from any of you at this point. It's fabulous. It really came in handy.
And honest folks, we will talk some hockey. Don't worry. There's a few things to happen in the ho-hum that did occur in the hockey world. But
nothing like Donald Fear to cheer people up. Huh?
Ouch! Ouch! You had to go there, Brian.
I had to try.
but it is true. The phone number is 1-347-826-7358, and we'll be taking you fine folks to the top of the hour, as we always do on a Sunday night. I do want to thank, obviously, Brian for helping out. I don't know when I'm personally going to have cable or phone or internet or anything like that. Apparently, this is like the speak and spell and memory portion where your grid has to match up with what the grid is for Comcast and other cable companies. That's what I've been given as a general issue, if you will, as to why we don't have anything right now. Is it unfortunate? Yeah, sure, perhaps. But it kind of is what it is. For me personally, it was, you heard the weather reports, you knew it was going to be bad.
I can't even sit there to think and go, if we had actually gotten 6 to 9 inches of rain like they were forecasting, with the winds that we got on Monday night, would I be standing here in this house right now? I don't know. I mean, this could have been far worse for a lot.
As crazy as that sounds, you're right. I mean, I even think, I remember the storm was only moving 14 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then sped up. I mean, then it got up to almost the high 20s or even 30 miles an hour. Thank goodness that it did do that.
Yeah.
That it didn't stick. So originally they were saying the storm may stick around for almost 3 days, or, 2 days or so. And
I mean,
I remember I called my mother 2 days before. I said, you better really consider what you're going to do, because this isn't just a Jersey Shore thing or just a, a Long Island thing. Usually Long Island gets hit a lot, too. Usually that's what happens. The storms like Gloria in 1986 came all the way up, and we never got hit, and then it went to Long Island. I think that's how a lot of people sometimes in Jersey think, because that's usually how it goes. It was just so big, and it was just 900 miles wide, and that's just unfathomable.
I mean, I before my power went out Monday evening for good, at about, I'd say about 5 o'clock, there was a very interesting satellite picture that I saw from NOAA and from space, from NASA, and it looked like from the day after tomorrow. It really did. It was eerie. I mean, the storm was massive. It looked like it took a huge chunk of the East Coast up to almost Canada. And it's a little scary, to be honest. And they sat there, and it's like, okay, the worst of the winds are going to come from this time to this time. Well, nobody told us that the storm was going to... It did slow back down a little bit. Once it finally officially made landfall around, it depends on which weatherman you talk to. But I'm sitting there about 10:30, 11 o'clock going, you know what, not for nothing. The worst of the winds are still here. I thought they were supposed to pass by now. I mean, they said by 9 o'clock, the worst of the winds were supposed to go by. And they didn't. It was actually still picking up. I mean, for me, about 11 o'clock, I heard this hellacious gust and a sound that I never hope anyone hears. I thought it was my house. I really did. I thought the back end of my house gave. I go outside. It's not my house, necessarily, but it's the sound of a grill going 15 feet across my deck. And I had all I could do but to slide out there and catch my grill before it went over. I didn't know if the propane was going to flip over and ignite or anything, fireball and marshmallow, which would not have been good. But once I managed to catch the grill, I was able to put it back in its bungee cord and its sort of little harness and rope and tie everything back up, and then proceeded to go further outside. Why, I don't know. But I'm glad I did. I found a few pieces of siding off the side of my house and a huge tree branch in my neighbor's yard, which was the sound that I heard. But, I mean, for a while there, I look up and I'm looking at this tree that's about 65 feet high, moving, and actually the tree moved physically, which is unusual for the fact that people have to keep in mind, we only got about an inch or two of rain up here. People forget that over the 3 to 4 day period, we only got a couple inches of rain. And yet these trees still moved. And a lot of them came down. I mean, if you're, there are a lot of people that unfortunately lost homes from tree damage in the area. There's quite a few. There's several in Raleigh, and I'm sure they're scattered all around Westfield, Cranford, Linden, et cetera. But think about when you,
what you heard on the news when people are saying, well, people dying by falling tree. I mean, a lot of the cases, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were, you know, they were in a centralized portion of their house. And it didn't matter. You know, my deepest prayers and condolences go out to all the families that lost loved ones in this storm, and to all the people that still don't have power or don't have a home. And even the people that, and I know this sounds trivial, guys, but the people that are literally watching these images on TV and just are just so depressed and heartbroken. Because it's not easy. I mean, for me personally, let's face it, I lived at the Jersey Shore every summer. My grandmother was 5 minutes from the beach. I'd go down to Point Pleasant like a little kid every summer. I'd go crabbing. Can't do that right now, obviously. I'd go to Jenkinson's, which is thankfully standing somewhat.
Oh, that is. I heard rumors about Jenkinson's, and I wasn't
it's
sure.
It was heavily damaged, but there's. I mean, the one thing I think that's amazing, and I know it's badly damaged. The tiki room is still standing.
That's great. I love it. I just love the fact at least that made it through. You know, it's a sign of hope.
I mean, I got to be honest, Josh. When I heard the surge and everything else, I figured that was the first thing that was going to go.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Just thinking that there's no way these boardwalks or anything on the boardwalks was going to withstand that. Just the pounding waves, the wind, and I think you're right when you said earlier that the timing of the storm and the speed of it probably saved them, because if it slowed down or if it stayed at the speed it was originally forecast at, and they had to endure another 8 to 12 hours, I don't think any of those buildings would have still been standing, that line of boardwalks in Point Pleasant and in Seaside.
Or if the storm had decided to jog a little bit further north, like people were thinking it might. Very thankfully, the storm turned almost due west as it made landfall. Does it make an immense difference? No. Did it help in some ways? Yes, it did. Let's face it, we're going to be talking about this for weeks and months. These are stories that we're going to be telling to our kids and grandkids. It's literally, it's hard to believe that this happened 6 days ago. Because to be honest, it feels like it happened yesterday. I mean, honestly, I had a laugh. I was helping somebody fill out their, to their homeowners because they had more than $500 worth of damage. And, it's because the tree literally fell through their fence and through part of their bedroom. It wasn't serious, but it was enough to cause a few $1,000s worth of damage. And the first thing my neighbor said to me, A, I'm glad to be live. B, I'm glad I listened and stayed in the center part of the house. I was in my bedroom, I would have been dead. Because what had happened was, even though the tree didn't really go all the way into the bedroom, it did knock something over that caused a small fire. They were able to put it out right away because they weren't in the room. Might not have been so lucky if he was in the room, etc. And he's like, who knows, I might have panicked. I really, really was lucky. And it doesn't even pale in comparison to what happened in other places. I had the Inferno on Breezy Point, which, you know, there's still several locations in New Jersey, I think, Josh, too, that are on fire right now.
Yeah, they've been having some issues with the natural gas lines. I know Manilocan was still burning, and the barrier islands south of there, looking at like Seaside, Lavalette, and down on Long Beach Island, actually severing the service altogether. So instead of just turning off the gas line, they literally capped it at both ends, risking that the infrastructure was going to collapse, because once they cap and vent it, without the pressure of the gas in there, the lines could collapse or they could fill with seawater. And
right.
Because of the risk, they decided that was going to be the approach they were going to take, which means for all those islands to get natural gas service again, they basically have to install a brand new system, because that was the best course of action to avoid the kinds of fires that have happened out there from this storm.
And it's just, wow, I mean, I do have to say that the outpouring of support that I've seen, I mean, especially social media, Facebook, Twitter, the Jersey Shore Hurricane News. You know, there's too many people and sites to thank. Deborah from the Woodbridge Patch, who literally kept me informed on what was going on in Raleigh and Woodbridge and Carteret, because I had no real way of knowing, other than running into, say, the mayor of the town here in Raleigh or some cops, you know, where you got some firsthand information, but not all the details. And, I mean, just, it's hard to believe that this could happen. And the reality is it did. But if there's an area of the country that has more resolved than this area, it'd be tough to find.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you need right now. You need, you know, it's amazing. Like how many posts I saw, you know, if you need a place to stay or go, you know, come to my house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's incredible. You know, I know the negative things get a lot of press. And, you know, you see things on the news. But you know what? Most people are good people. Most people have it in them to do the right thing. And just hope this continues. I mean, we talked about this after 9/11. We talked about this after a lot of tragedies. But, you know, it shouldn't, you know, this just reinforces what's really important.
It does.
You know, and it should stay with us forever. I mean, it should never leave you. I know at times, you know, you get back to normal and things become, you know, you don't focus on that, but it should be at least be a moment of pause every single day. That, you know what? You know, you're sitting in the house now without cable, but you're also sitting in your house, and that's a wonderful thing. I had a question for both of you. Please tell me there's not another storm coming up there this week. Is that false, true? What's the story with that?
There is another storm. There's
a
pretty good chance that we are going to get hit with a northeaster on Wednesday or Thursday. So we're looking at rain, we're looking at northeast winds, and upwards of 30 miles an hour, 30 to 50 was the last I heard.
Right.
So when you're looking at beaches that don't have any dunes and little protection, this is certainly going to make things worse.
Yeah, I should hope, keep my fingers crossed that it goes out to sea, you know.
Yeah,
I sure hope so.
It's obvious it's not what we need. And you're going to add in this fact, too. You're going to have people that are inevitably still without power, probably midweek. Temperatures are going to be down in the low 40s.
And it's going to be damp, which is very cold. Yeah, you know, raw cold.
Yeah, it's cold as it is now. I mean, tonight it's supposed to get down into the low to mid-30s here, and the upper 20s tomorrow night. It's going to really be dangerous for these people that are not in shelters, that are still riding it out in their homes. And I mean, we haven't even gotten into the gas situation. I mean, there are so many facets with this. honest, folks. I swear, we're going to talk some hockey. We really are.
Nice but, few minutes to do so.
Hey, that's what the last 10 minutes are for, right? But on a night like this, and I know people are expecting us to talk about, oh, I don't know, fantasy KHL and things of the sort. I've gotten more questions. When is the free agency going to start? When is this going to? When is the league going to start? Call Comcast. I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you. I'm not being cold about it.
But for Comcast, can make moves for us.
If Comcast can make, I mean, look, I couldn't even touch my fantasy football teams this weekend because it wouldn't even go through. That's how jammed the line everything was. I after four or five times trying, I just gave up. I was like, okay, there's more important things, obviously, and this is a sign. I do know that, as people have alluded to, you know, the gas refineries are slowly coming back online. There's still a few dozen that are not. And probably once you see those online and running and able to distribute gas and oil, then you'll hopefully start seeing less and less of these just lines that, I mean, you know, seem to go for miles and miles. I mean, I saw them in Clark yesterday firsthand. The Shell station by me in Rahway is a mess. You have people camping out for spots. You have patrons of businesses putting signs up, this is not for Shell parking. I mean, there are things that you never thought you would see in the area. And then you go down, you know, down the Jersey Shore and the few gas stations that are starting to open. I mean, that was another thing, too. People were going back in the dark that had generators because they couldn't get gas. I mean, we've said this many times in many ways. This was a storm for the ages for this region. It really was.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It could have been a lot worse than it was. It's bad enough what it was. But the fact that it could have been worse, I think even some media people really feel like,
the other thing about the media is, don't forget a lot. I mean, again, from a national point of view,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of them are based in New York.
Yeah.
You know, MSNBC, Fox News. I mean, they're all, you know, not CNN, but most, but a lot of these people have New York roots and ties. So I think that really, not that Katrina didn't hit them, but this hit them on a more personal level. I'm sure they were personally affected by what was going on.
I mean, I remember sitting there Monday night with my little itty bitty flashlight radio. Yeah, I know this sounds really infantile, but it's true. I have a little flashlight radio. And I also have one of those old-fashioned, don't laugh, folks, a crankshaft radio, which comes in handy when you don't have anything. It comes really in handy because you just turn the crank and it goes. But it also had a thing on it for emergency weather. And when you're hearing all these alerts coming in, and people literally, people in the media going, I can't believe what I'm seeing, where I'm standing on top of a car in 6 feet of water in Battery Park.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where guys are hopping, you know, rooftops of cars because you can't get out any other way. And that really is a dose of perspective.
Yep.
It's like I said, this is going to take a long time to recover from. And yes, eventually there will be some sense of normalcy. I don't know when that will be. There's no easy answers to this. There isn't. There's never going to be.
You know, I had a friend of mine that went to New Orleans, I think it was about a year ago. I mean, about a year or so ago. He was stunned how much is still not done there.
Yeah.
How long has that been?
5 years? Six. I know that was a Category 5, the difference, but it doesn't matter. I mean, this was a Category
1 hurricane. This was a Category 1 hurricane that acted like a 3 or 4.
Oh, absolutely. I would say, yes, no question. I mean, there are Category 3 hurricanes that act like ones.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, and people overrate the wind speed. It's the power, it's the pressure. That's very, it's everything. And I think that's really what.
Right.
I think that's why a lot of people didn't take it as serious. I'm not saying everybody did, but it's the.
I mean, look, I thought
it's a one. We'll bear down. We'll have some damage. Maybe some trees, and maybe lose power for a day or so, and you figure it's over. I mean,
you look at some of the things. Sandy Hook is probably not going to open next year.
Probably not.
As it stands right now, because there's sewage under the feet of sand that is buried parts of it.
That's sad. I love that place.
you look at places like Keensburg and Keyport. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Staten Island, Queens, Brooklyn. Areas of Brooklyn that are just, in shambles. And you go on Long Island, even the coast of Connecticut, Bridgeport lost its substation very early in the storm and had hurricane-force wind. Groton, Connecticut, even northeast Pennsylvania, there was people that were without power until this weekend. And some that are still out. You had 2 to 3 feet of snow in West Virginia. You had snow all the way down through the Sugar Mountains and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. It shut down the stock market for 2 days. That's just,
that's still the one.
The whole economic system of the U.S. was shut down for 2 days.
Oh, and that whole thing where some money was flooded in New York City as well. The feds will have to print some new money because there was about, I don't know, it depends on the reports that you hear, but there was a whole lot of zeros that were lost due to the storm in the Treasury Department. Some parts were flooded. Where Ground Zero is was flooded. It seems like nothing was spared. And yet, you went along the Jersey Shore and you went to the town of, say, Margate, and there was hardly any damage.
Weird how that goes. That's even how earthquakes work too. Sometimes you'll see a house next to a house that is just leveled, and then a house next to it's fine. You think to yourself, how is that even possible? It's odd how that works. Some houses, even look at them now, you see some houses that look pretty decent. The house next to it is just completely leveled, same size.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if I could have my one moment where I have my sort of shallow little Bane moment. If anybody knows that the Roy Rogers in Pine Beach is still standing, would you let me know?
Can't be Roy Rogers. You just can't.
What? I admit it. Well, let's be honest. My aunt went on a cruise literally the day before Sandy came in. Still don't know what happened. They have no power down there. They've had no power down in Pine Beach all week. So go figure that one out. So I have no clue. I presume. That's just, it's kind of just how it is, and there's, so when will I hear from him? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no power
hopefully
down
soon.
There. Yeah,
hopefully soon.
And they were probably evacuated themselves because they're about a half mile from the water. So, it just goes to show you, no matter how you don't think it affects people, it affects people.
No.
But in the coming days and weeks, there will, you know, obviously there was a concert on Friday night, and I'm sure it will be quite a few along the way. But folks, if you can donate anything to the Red Cross, if you just text 90999 to the American Red Cross on a donation of just $10, I mean, every little bit helps. I know there's a few people in New Jersey are selling T-shirts and hats. I think the T-shirts are $22 and the hats are $11. There's so many different ways to donate that are pretty much all legitimate.
You have Salvation Army.
You do have to watch for that with anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. Every little bit helps. I mean, you know, you can't move a mountain in a day. You know, you can't.
Right.
I mean, you got to chip away and.
Right.
You know, just somebody has extra food for somebody. You know, just a little bit. Or, I was watching a story on CNN. It was amazing. This blind woman in Staten Island is cooking all this food for all these people, bringing it down. That's incredible. I mean, those are the kind of things that. That's when I get most emotional about it. You know, that's when I really, wow, you know, this woman, you know, and she almost said it's a blessing that she can't see because she doesn't want to see it. That's kind of scary when you really think about it, you know. But even just what she's doing, it's just, even if you just brighten people's day for a little while, you know, it makes all the difference in the world. Or just talk to people. Just let them, you know, let them tell you your story. You know, sometimes people just need to vent.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, like I said, there's about 6 minutes left. We're gonna get into some of what's been going on in the hockey world. And let's face it, a lot of people haven't really been paying attention, and in some ways, rightfully so. But you know, from what little I've gathered, obviously the Winter Classic is it's done.
Why so early for that cancellation? That's what I'm wondering.
I guess there's a little part of me, folks, that thinks there's still going to be a season. There's a little tiny, tiny part. And I think, honestly, they were going to have to cancel it no matter what. Because you're not going to see the All-Star game. And you're not. Well, you're definitely not going to see the All-Star game, and not just because it's in Columbus. But it's just because you're going to see this really shortened schedule, and it's going to kind of be 1995 all over again if we have a season.
I'm with you on the All-Star game, but I was a little bit surprised with the Winter Classic, especially with them negotiating and trying to put some offers back and forth or whatever was happening somewhat quietly over the past week. And I don't know if it was quiet because of my involvement or if it was quiet, but I didn't see a whole lot going on about the 50-50 split with the NHL making up the difference on the make-good. But, you know, with that going on and that being a big component of what was holding them up with some of the previous offers, I was a little surprised that they were going to throw down the bargaining chip of we're canceling the Winter Classic. You know, I thought for sure that the league would have either held that up as we need to get this done by next week or we have to cancel the Winter Classic. But to watch them come back with an offer and then the next day or same day, I'm not even sure if it was right after, to announce that the Winter Classic was canceled just seemed like a strange move by the league.
Right. It's funny because somebody had said to me at the time, you know, there were certain benchmark dates and such and such, and then there's the idea that this could be thrown out the window at any time. And I thought to myself, nah, you know, they're going along a certain script, and this is how it's going to go. This just went to show you that, you know what, you're wrong. We're gonna do this our way, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And just
I thought I read a blurb today that maybe some progress was made.
I mean, there definitely is some progress being made behind the scenes, and a little bit of a chuckle went out last night as to if Bill Daly and Steve Feer actually talked at 2:00 in the morning or 1:00 in the morning, depending on your daylight savings time ending calendar, and who you want to believe. But there is definitely some progress being made. whether that means a season or not, I know people are saying, okay, there's a little bit more optimism, and it seems like every time we hear that, it gets squashed like a tiny little bug. I read the reports last night from Darren Dreger and Bob McKenzie. The players want to get something done, but yet you still see players hopping overseas, like Anthony Antonin today, hopped over to Europe. So, do they want to get something done? I'm guessing yes. Do they want to get something done anytime soon? Doesn't seem like it. And it almost seems like this is setting up for December or January again. Could be wrong. We've been wrong many times before. But it has that look. And I hope that somehow, in some way, that we do see some hockey. But if not, apparently we're being covered, according to what I hear from some of the networks. The NHL Network is starting to air more games from around the non-NHL world. Even, dare I say it, MSG, Brian. Yes, MSG is going all over it with the KHL. I mean, that's pretty good in of itself.
Hey, it might not be NHL hockey, but it's hockey, it's competitive, and having a couple familiar names in the lineup makes it interesting.
It does. It's weird not being able to see a lot from the last week. By the way, folks, if you're ever streaming something from your cell phone and you have the charger, it gets ugly. But, I try to anyway in that sense. But, I've tried to follow my fantasy AHL team. I tried to follow, I know it sounds insane. My fantasy Memorial Cup team is doing pretty well, despite the fact I haven't been able to touch it for 2 weeks. But never mind that. Just from a hockey standpoint, there's still so many alternatives. And if for just a little bit this helps, then we've all done something. It's not that it's ever going to take our minds off what has happened. It's not going to happen or occur, but it's something for people to at least. There are other things. We are going to get through this. I definitely think it's something I can guarantee. We are going to get through this. It seems like it's something that's insurmountable right now. I know a lot of people feel overwhelmed. I'm with you. I feel the same way at times. It's like going through the motions. It really is.
You have about 45 seconds left in the show. Just want to wish you guys both the best. Stay strong and be safe.
Absolutely. But we're going to go into the archive portion. I do want to thank everybody that made this possible. The folks from the hockey writers who've helped out this week. I hope next week we have a show that is somewhat back to normal. Like I said, thanks again. You can download the show on iTunes. We'll be working with some of the other shows on Blog Talk and Sirius and Terrestrial Radio out there, but. Until next week, we will be heading into the overtime. But for now, have a great night, everybody. Most importantly, if you don't have power, you don't have much of anything, hold tight, hang in there. We'll pick each other up. Have a great night, everybody.
Okay.